Overthrow of World Powers, Zechariah chapter 9. The burden of the word of the Lord in the land of Hadrach and Damascus shall be the rest thereof, when the eyes of man, as of all the tribes of Israel, shall be toward the Lord. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 1. With this chapter we begin a new section of the prophecy of Zechariah. It appears so very different from the preceding portion, especially the first part of it, but it connects with all that follows. In a word, these last chapters of Zechariah, chapters 9 to 14, give us a bird's eye vision of the overthrow of Gentile world power over Israel and the establishment of Jewish world power over the Gentiles. Zechariah chapters 9 through 11 give us the facts relative to Gentile abasement and the overthrow of its kingdoms and power, while Zechariah chapters 12 through 14 show us the judgment which precedes such consummation, through which judgment the Jews must pass, to be sifted and purged before they are ready for their great exaltation and renown. The glory will follow the suffering, the crown will follow the cross. It is ever the way that God deals with mankind. Abasement must come before the lifting up, by the which we are shown the grace of God. Zechariah chapters 9 and 10 form one continuous prophecy. The foreground of the seer's first words is the course of Alexander the Great, who circled around the Holy Land but did not molest or destroy it. He finally overthrew the Persian Empire. But this is only typical and preliminary to the following solemn predicted events, which are yet future. The word burden in our authorized version is otherwise translated oracle or utterance. The prophet refers to the burden of the word of the Lord which was about to be fulfilled. It primarily describes the surprise and fear which will overcome the people when the conqueror, the executor of God's wrath, shall appear. The consternation of the nations at the coming of Alexander in his time is shown as the pattern. When Hadrach and Damascus, representative of cities or countries of the latter days, are visited with the wrath of God, the nations will tremble. It will signify the beginning of the end. There shall be delay no longer. The day of God's wrath will have come, and all eyes shall be directed toward him. They will realize at last that his judgments are coming in accordance with the solemn warnings of the Scripture. The eyes of the tribes of Israel are particularly meant in this reference, for at the time of Alexander they had a special reason to fear him as the high priest, from a sense of loyalty to the Persian monarch, refused to acknowledge the Macedonian conqueror. But, as has been intimated, that foreground merges into the future time when the eyes of all men shall be directed toward the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He who was once humbled to the dust, led as a lamb to the slaughter, whose hands and feet were pierced with nails, and he was hung upon the cross, shall come forth conquering and to conquer, and no man nor devil can then say to him, Nay. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Hadrach is the first marked out place upon which the wrath of God is falling, and it shall not rest until it falls upon Damascus. According to ancient history, these two cities were close together. They are no doubt representative of cities of the present day, noted places, we might infer, on which God will take vengeance. Hamath, the next mentioned city, bordered the first two and shall be involved in the like fate and share in the poured-out wrath of an offended king whose subjects are in revolt. Tyrus and Sidon, though she be very wise, are associated in the same ruin, Zechariah 9, verse 2. Tyre is marked out in a special way for her material prosperity. And Tyrus did build herself a stronghold, and heaped up silver as the dust, and fine gold as the mire of the streets, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 3. But all this did not help her in any wise to escape. There is said to be, in Hebrew, a play on the word Tyre. Read it thus: Tyre built herself a tower, though the word used has a much wider significance than that of a tower. Tyrus, meaning a rocky stronghold, is true to her name, but she was not satisfied at that. She built herself an addition, a rocky fortress or tower. The addition no doubt refers to the new Tyre, which was built upon an island. This was called the stronghold of the sea, Isaiah 23:4, because though small in extent, it was surrounded by a double wall 150 feet high, which was so strong a fortification that Shalmaneser besieged it for 5 years and Nebuchadnezzar for 13, but neither were able to conquer it. Hence, she was confident of her strength. It had proved invincible time and again. Her merchants were princes and her traffickers the honorable of the earth, Isaiah 23:7-8. All the ancient cities brought their best and choicest things and laid them at the feet of her who appeared in the description as a queen enthroned on ivory, covered with blue and purple from the Isles of Elisha, Ezekiel 27. See our study book on Ezekiel for further description. But what are natural strength and wisdom and all material resources when nations are in revolt against God? As Alexander the Great finally destroyed Tyre after she had stood for centuries, the invulnerable city of the sea, so will the Lord Jesus Christ bring down her counterpart in the time when these things shall be fulfilled. Behold, the Lord will cast her out, and he will smite her power in the sea, and she shall be devoured with fire. Even though she, with her associate Zidon, is very strong and apparently invincible, she will meet her Waterloo at last. Then the burden of the judgment travels on. 4 Philistine cities are mentioned next. Ascalon in the south shall not escape. She is fearful when she sees the fate of the proud city of Tyre. Gaza also is sorrowful, and Ekron, for her expectation, shall be ashamed. While a king shall perish from Gaza and Ascalon, shall not be inhabited. And a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines. And I will take away his blood out of his mouth, and his abominations from between his teeth. And he also shall be a remnant for our God, and he shall be as a chieftain in Judah, and Ekron as a Jebusite. Zechariah 9:5-7, the American Standard Version. These 4 cities were no doubt in the way of Alexander the Great's victorious march of conquest. But if not, we know that their latter-day antitypes will not escape the judgment of God. History tells us that the name of the king of Gaza at the time of Alexander's besiegement of that city was Batis. He was a deputized Persian commander of the city who had usurped great authority and independent position. This is interesting when seen in view of end-time events. He was slain and his death was tragic. He was bound to a chariot with thongs thrust through his feet and dragged through the city. He is representative of all those rebels of the day of Christ who dare lift up themselves against him. They will be bound to his chariot and forced to bow to his authority. The usurpers of Christ's dominion shall bite the dust, as is the saying. The Philistines were wont to be proud of their race, their national place, and probably face, but God took them down. He humbled their pride, and he will do the same to the anti-typical Philistine of the latter day. The bastard would speak of illegitimacy, not born of lawful wedlock, which, when seen in a spiritual sense, is wonderful. The Philistine represents religious folk, the formal church member who has never been born again. Hence, the bastard would emphasize this fact. We read of such in Paul's letter to the Hebrews. He says, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. But if ye be without chastisement, then are ye bastards and not sons." Hebrews 12:7-8. There were some of such character there, some true believers and some bastards. The same condition obtains in Christendom at the present hour. Church membership is counted instead of Christ membership, and vengeance will be taken on the Philistine. Ashdod, meaning the spoiler, shall be spoiled. Religious as well as political Rome is seen here in type. Furthermore, the prophet is made to say, "And I will take away his blood out of his mouth, and his abominations from between his teeth. But he that remaineth, even he, shall be for our God, and he shall be as a governor in Judah, and Ekron as a Jebusite." Zechariah 9:7. We are herein instructed that even the Philistines, the former avowed enemies of Israel, who survived the wreckage of the terrible judgment of the notable day of the Lord, shall be cleansed from defilement and afterward enter into the joy of the Jews. They too shall belong to God. Some of them will have honored places as chieftains and governors in Judah and shall be esteemed as Jebusites or native sons of Jerusalem. Jabez was its name as given over into the hands of the Gentiles. There is a hint here of the Jebusite Araunah, who lived in the midst of the Jews and was reckoned as one of them. He was a distinguished man, a wealthy man. He sold his threshing floor to King David, which afterward became the temple site for the dwelling of the great God of Israel. He also offered to present the oxen with which he had been plowing as a burnt offering, and the plow to keep the fire burning. 2 Samuel 24, verse 22, and 1 Chronicles 21, verses 18 through 25. The above prophecy of the Philistine has never been fulfilled. None of the heathen nations were converted to Israel by the calamities which befell them in former days.